On this episode of the Real Life Carry podcast, I'm joined by Brandon Balestri, aka Man Bun, and a friend of mine who goes by the name of Hilo. As always, we kick the episode off with our carry stories. Latest highlights include golfers crop dusting, my horrendous smelling bib, and Man Bun plays a beautiful birthday prank on a golfer. In the second part of the episode, we speak to Hilo about his charity golf event. Last year, I was lucky enough to be in attendance, and he tells us all about the preparation of the golf event, the highs and lows, no pun intended, and he gives us some advice on organising our own tournament. We end the episode with a quick look at one of the many games on the Big Game Golf app, and then we answer some listener mailbag questions. If you have any feedback or questions, please email us, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com, or contact us on social media. Many thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Episode 112. This one is called A Charity Golf Event, and that will become apparent later in the episode. I'm joined by Man Bun.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. And we don't have Zabo this week. He is down in Disneyland.
Disneyland. I've been told.
He's down there.
We'll have to see how it goes.
This is like the fourth time this year already.
You know, they don't allow smoking in Disneyland. They don't even sell cigarettes, menthol cigarettes in California.
There you go. So, Zabo's not here, but we do have a special guest, a good friend of mine. Podcast super fan, would you call yourself, Chris?
I think that's fair, yeah.
Yeah, it's Chris Hislop. Nickname?
Hilo.
Hilo.
Sometimes high, sometimes low.
Is that how you describe it?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Golf game or personality or...
All of the above. Actually, it's a take on my last name.
Okay.
So if you remove two letters from High Slope, you get High and Low.
There you go.
Now, I met Chris carrying last year, and we hit it off. He's one of those guys that says his family's from Scotland, but bullshit.
That is 100% true story. My grandfather came over to the United States as a kid. Coal miners from Wishaw. We've discussed.
Have you any idea where Wishaw is, Brandon?
Having a clue.
Wishaw is very close to Glasgow. It's right in the middle of the country.
Yes, it is. Coal miners migrated to West Virginia, set up shop there. Yeah.
You're actually from Arizona, though?
Correct. Grew up in Arizona. Yes. Valley of the Sun.
Am I true in saying you were once an actor?
Yes. I don't advertise that, but that is true. I spent some time on stage, in front of the camera.
So basically, you are the same as a caddy then.
I think they're very similar.
Very, very similar. We'll get on to why you're here, actually, later in the episode. However, you must know how we start every episode, correct?
Yes, I do. Caddy stories.
Brandon, what you got?
Let's see here. Well, we'll start off with a bang. Somebody who I had caddied for before asked me if I'd be willing to pull a prank on their friend who was coming to play the week course on his birthday with his girlfriend. I was reached out to by these guys, and they said, hey, this guy's Sam and Christian. Sam and Christian.
Oh, Sam and Christian.
They're on the phone. You can hear them. They're in their office or whatever. They're like, oh, okay. I said, so what are you guys looking for? Like, what do you want before I go ahead and agree to such a ridiculous request?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he first off started by saying, sounds like you're the lucky guy. And I said, let me correct that. I said, it sounds like you're the lucky guy.
Yes. A zinger.
I said, I'm the only person in this whole caddy staff who would do such a thing.
Easy now.
I said, and probably pull it off really well. Gordon, you might be able to do such a thing. So anyways, what happened was Sam and Christian say, hey, we want, maybe get him to hit an iron off the tee, give him a bad yardage, you know, get him a bad read, get him to putt the ball off the green. And then just basically, you know, just for one hole, we don't want to like destroy his round.
The whole round.
And just let him know on the second tee that it's a joke.
Uh-huh.
I said, I think I can just kind of go with the flow. We don't have to figure it all out. I'll just as soon as I meet him, I'll figure it out and we'll go from there.
How much preparation did you have for this role?
24 hours. It was the next morning. What happened was I go up to the tee. I let the other caddy know. I said, hey, you know, if I sound like I'm saying some weird stuff or whatever, just don't pay any attention to it. I'm kind of messing with this guy.
So one guy doesn't know about it. The other three players.
No, nobody knows.
Oh, nobody knows.
Nobody knows except for the caddy and the guy's girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
We're paired up with a father, son, a random guy with the caddy. Uh-huh. The other two didn't have a caddy, me and Luke. I saw him on the putting green. I watched him on the range. Uh-huh. I waited till the last minute to go up so he couldn't ask me a bunch of questions. I go up. I introduce myself to Megan. I say, hey, Megan, good morning. It's nice to meet you. I don't know what's going to happen here. I said, but just go with the flow, okay?
Yeah.
She says, great. So I introduce myself. I walk up. He's on the putting green, and I look him in the eye, and I extend my hand to give my handshake. He grabs my hand. I have no hand pressure, and I just I just wobble my hand. I said, oh, nice to meet you. So he has a McKenzie bag that's on the ground. You know, a bag without a stand. It wasn't totally like a loose bag. It had a little structure, but it didn't have a stand.
Yeah.
So I picked the bag up, set it upright, and I started asking him, what tees you going to play? You ever played here before? What tees you going to play? And he says, well, how far does it play? I said, well, I don't know. And so then he's standing right on the other side of the bag, and I let the bag go. And it falls over like halfway before he grabs it as I'm already halfway to the podium to get a scorecard. And I come back and I start telling him the yardages from the Reds back. And I said, well, the Reds play this. He's like, I want to play the Golds. And so I got a coffee in my pouch and I got a Danish in my pouch. And so we go up. I said, so what do you want to do here? He says, well, I was thinking about hitting a driver. I said, I was watching on a range. And it looked to me like you were struggling a little bit. I said, we got out of bounds on the right. We got out of bounds on the left. I said, if you want to keep this one in play, I suggest you hit a 7-iron.
Just so you know the wee course. What is it? The first hole.
The yardage on that?
No, just what is it?
A par four.
A par five.
It's long a big par five. Big par five.
That's right. A little dog leg left, yes.
Big dog leg left.
Big dog leg.
You must have been on the drink.
Yeah. There might have been a cocktail.
He doesn't remember.
So he's got a par five, and you're 550 yards, and you tell him hit a 7-iron.
Yeah, so I tell him to hit a 7-iron. He goes, oh, brilliant. He goes, how about a 6? I said, deal. And so I got the Danish in my hand, and I'm kind of like pointing to where to hit the ball, like with the cherry turnover in my hand.
Oh, no.
And so then he gets up, and, you know, he was, I guess, a little taller, kind of thinner guy. He was a 6 handicap. So then he hammers this 6-iron down there to like the last bit of flat fairway, you know, from the tee box before it slopes down to the left. And so he hits. I take the club. I clean it off, throw it in the bag. I got it on a push cart. Uh-huh. Okay. So then I throw my coffee in the push cart cup holder. The other two people tee off. We get going. I lead the group. The other people are in carts. And I'm pushing the push cart. And there's this big male turkey showing just to the left of the Hogan's Alley, the walking path to the fairway. And I just dive left with the push cart like a total kook. I start high-stepping it in the wheatgrass towards the turkey. The turkey's like, woo! The turkey jumps up in the air, starts fluttering. And then I go cut back to the right real quick. Turkeys, get out of here. Get off the golf course. So then we get up to the second shot. And I scratch off, you know, there's sand on the sprinkler head, and I scratch it off with my little toe, with my end of my shoe. I said, oh, man, we're so far out here. They don't even have a sprinkler. They don't have yardages on the sprinkler heads. He's like, yeah. He's like, okay, well, what should I do here? And I'm just looking, and somebody had already hit a ball down to about 120 yards on the right-hand side. So I used that as a reference. I said, 200 yards? You know, just kind of like mumbling a little bit. And I use my rangefinder and I kind of hit it on my hand as if it wasn't working. You know, like, gosh darn this thing never works. And so then I tell him to hit down by the ball. He grabs the 6-iron again and he hammers it down there to about 120 yards. We're getting off to a good start.
So he's a half decent player then.
Yeah. And so while he's hitting, we had some fireball shots at the house.
Yeah.
that my players gave me weeks ago. I told the story on the podcast. Yeah. Yeah, they gave me some joints, weed. Some weeds.
You gave them some joints, some weeds, and some fireball.
I refilled it with apple juice. You know, I didn't want to get in trouble. So of course, he didn't know that. It looks pretty much the same thing. So I pull out the apple juice fireball shot, and I just go, oh, yeah. And I just start dumping it in my coffee with my shaky hand. And
he's like, shaky
hand, and he's looking at me, and I'm just making just these weird noises. Oh, yeah.
I'm not really sure that any of this is unusual caddy
behavior
as of yet. I'm still waiting for you to get loony.
Put the club back in, and I start wheeling. I had a Rolly cigarette, and I lit it, and they're standing right behind me. Uh-huh. They're literally right behind me. And I just start doing the whole coughing bit again where I light up the cigarette and I'm chiefing it so there's all this smoke and I then I throw the cigarette down, just stomp it out with my foot, keep it going. I rub some cherry turnover on my face. Then we get up to the next shot. I park the push cart right next to his ball. So it's like crowding the ball. And so then I give him another yardage and he hits it just left of the flag, and it bounces and kind of rolls slightly off to the right side of the green in that low spot.
Yeah.
Great shot. And I give him his putter. I thought it stayed on the green, but I couldn't see from there. So then I try to convince the guy to chip with his hybrid. And as I'm doing that, he says, no, I'm going to chip with my 60. I'm going to chip it back up there. He chips it up there, you know, fairly close. While he's walking away, I tip the cart over. Just the coffee spills.
Oh,
the clubs were clinking. It was a mess. Then I read his putt, and I give him this weird roundabout. I don't know. It's slow, but it's, you know, it's downhill.
Towards the snack shack.
Towards the bathroom over there. And so he just barely misses the putt, taps it in for a 6.
I
grab the push cart, and I start kind of like jogging around the back edge of the green. As they're walking off the left side, I said, hey, hun. I started calling his girlfriend, hun, sweetie. I said, hey, hun, sweetie, what's your name again? I said, Could you take this push cart? I got to go take a shit. Because there's a bathroom right over across from the fifth tee there, right by behind the first green.
This guy's level of self-control at this point is
I was rocking it.
Yeah.
I was rocking it. It just felt very normal. And I made eye contact with him many times after the wedge shot. Or after I was cleaning the clubs, you know, I made sure there was still cherry turnover on my face and sunscreen. Beautiful. And so then I went over to the restroom. They walked up the hill. He took the push cart, not her. She grabbed it, and then he's like, I got it. So then I kind of, they were all the way up the hill waiting to hit, and I asked the marshal to drive me up there. And I basically just, I said, happy birthday, Luke. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, happy birthday. I said, I've just been messing with you this whole time. Oh. I said, your buddies Sam and Christian put me up to this. Megan knew, obviously. And he was totally sold.
I'd love to do that, actually. We'd have to find a course that has a caddy program that would allow us to do it. You couldn't do it here. But actually go through a full 9 holes and just have, you know, properly rank people.
I was thinking about getting a different name tag, but too many people know my name is Brandon, I was going to call my name, my character name was Zippy.
Zippy.
I was going to put Zippy on the name tag. And then later on in the round, we started laughing. He's like, man, you know, because eventually players, they have a bad hole. You know, they make a 6, they make whatever. It's inevitable. It just happens. And he goes, what would Zippy do here? You know, he kept bringing back the Zippy. He's like, you should have just kept being Zippy.
I carried this past couple of weeks. I met a guy. He's from New Orleans.
New Orleans.
And his name was Larry Lala. Right. No. It gets better. Right. Larry Lala.
Yeah.
Because I had a guy maybe a month ago called Sevy. You know, in the golf. In the first tee, I went, right. You ain't called Sevy. That's your nickname. That's what you guys call yourself. This guy's Larry Lala, and he looked at me, he says, you think that's weird? This is my wife. She's called Dolly.
Dolly Lala.
Everyone called her the Dalai Lama.
Down there in the bayou.
And you'd mentioned about the whole thing of the farting. I had another guy. Now, he was a professor at a university. Mm-hmm. I carried for him, 2-3 weeks ago. Really strange. Nice lad. interesting conversation, but he farted the whole way around. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was, well,
yeah, I shrug. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. Is it? Is
that, well, here's what taboo? Was wrong with
farts.
It.
Farts are funny.
Farts are very funny.
They're That's, very funny.
And you, and inevitably you get someone in your group, right? Oh, who stepped on the duck?
Exactly. Yeah. But here's the thing. He didn't acknowledge it. So as we're just walking down, talking, having a conversation about one thing, he's just, what do you guys call it? Crop dusting?
Yeah, crop dusting, yeah. Also acceptable, carpet bombing.
But that was it. The boy did not acknowledge it. And I think sometimes the thing about a fart is if it's an older person or a lady or something, you know, you'll giggle, but you don't bring it up.
Yeah.
But when it's a dude, especially in a golf course.
Yeah, you come up with something. That's going to itch when
just,
it dries.
Yeah, exactly. Just acknowledge what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happens sometimes. You create unexpectedly a small batch of underwear soup.
Yes.
Right? You know, it's what do they call that? Collateral damage.
Collateral damage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Life is messy.
Let me ask you guys a question. This kind of came up recently. I was golfing with a few friends over the last couple of days, and the act of prematurely congratulating another player on a good putt before that putt has dropped.
Yeah.
Now, not once, multiple times. When do they learn? You don't say anything. We have a buddy.
It's bad etiquette.
A buddy back in Phoenix that we play with, notorious for doing that. Good putt as it lips.
Uh-huh.
His name is Denny. Mm-hmm. So you've been Denny'd. That's what we refer to. And I saw some Denny'd.
I like that. You've been Denny'd. I caddied for Paul Azinger one time, and he kept saying, Ned. He'd miss a putt, and he said, Ned. I said, hey, Paul, I said, what's up with the whole Ned thing? And he goes, Brandon, he goes, I'm going to tell you something. He goes, do you know anybody named Ned? And I said, yeah, in fact, there's a Ned that works here. He goes, what's Ned like? And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. makes perfect sense. End of story.
Well, the individual that kept on doing it to me has two or three times in matches taken pleasure at me losing a hole or losing a match,
mm-hmm.
which I find very bizarre, very strange that anyone would do that, especially him with me.
Yeah.
But he kept on doing this. Oh, that's a fabulous putt. Lip out. Oh, what a great strike that. Lip out.
Mm-hmm.
I think we as caddies, we don't do it.
I always wait till the ball has been in the hole for 1.5 seconds.
Yeah.
Before I congratulate.
Yeah. Also, if the ball is going towards danger, you ain't going to say, oh, it's okay. The worst is when people say, oh, it bounced. It bounced twice before it jumped off the cliff.
I say, yeah, I think you're screwed, but there's a small chance.
There's a
chance. Yeah, there's a chance that it, you know, stayed up.
I think it opens up over there.
Yeah.
It doesn't open up over there.
No.
I don't sell false hope. I would always go along the line of, under promise, over deliver.
Yeah, I tell people it's in the bunker.
Yes, correct. Yeah. See, that's where you and I have complete synergy. Yeah. I was telling Hilo before you turned up this morning that we've both been caddying since we were in high school. So we have a different perspective on it, having done different courses. And, but we do, you know what I mean? It's like stuff you learn.
Yeah.
You get a lot of these caddies, and even guys that have been doing it 10, 15 years, oh, no, that's fine. It should be fine. Never tell anyone that it's going to be okay. You want it? You want bad news? Then, oh look, it stayed at the bunker. I've never had anyone get angry with me when I've told them it's in the bunker. They turn up and it's okay.
Correct. And I always like to go by the rule where just because somebody's just flippantly asking you a question doesn't mean you have to answer.
Yes.
Just because somebody's blabbing on, we get this a lot on the golf course where some people just really like to talk. They just ask questions. They're just like a blah, 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 blah. It's like, I'm not listening.
Might have been with that.
I'm not listening.
The last couple days.
I'm not listening.
Tell me, what do you do for a living, Hilo?
I work for a software company in sales, business development.
Okay. Would you say there's any sort of parts of your job that mirror our job?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think about sales, right? You're selling your skills as a caddy when you're out there, right? Yeah. I actually was telling Big G a story. I got to play a very prestigious country club out in Scottsdale. It's called Silverleaf. It's a couple pros mm-hmm, yeah. live there. Very, you know, one of those that I would never get to play, but I was invited. And we had a caddy with us in our group all day, bad reads on the putting green. I mean, not just me. I'm not just saying our group was just like, this guy cannot read the greens. He's giving us bad reads.
Yeah.
Well, you lose your confidence in him. Bad. I mean, if I don't know what I'm selling, if I don't know the software yeah. or I'm not confident or I'm not, you know, it's, you're not going to believe in me. You're not going to buy my goods. Right. So yeah, there's absolutely a lot of similarities, you know, and you know, we bring up talking a lot, right? You have to listen sometimes. You just listen.
It's mostly listening.
Right. Yeah. You got to listen because what you think that person wants to hear may not be what they want to hear. Mm-hmm. But you don't know that until you listen to them. You know, when I first met Big G, he had to listen to me talk about Wishaw and Scottish and all of that. But he knew right then and there, and he's said this multiple times, he knew right then and there, he goes, this is going to be a good group.
I want to finish off Caddy Stories with something that I had I'd mentioned in a, I think the last episode was about washing the bib.
I said I washed my bib and you questioned, you washed your bib?
So
Zabo and I were like, yeah, of course we wash our bibs.
I was being facetious. Of course. Wash my bib.
Gordon, yes, washes his bib.
On a very
He has multiple
basis,
bibs.
And I have several bibs, right?
They're all clean, pressed.
However, within the last 2 weeks of recording that episode, I have both peed on my bib.
Oh.
So I was rushing to go, you know, for a pee.
Yeah.
Pulled over to the side. I was looking behind me to keep an eye on the ball. And
not minding your own.
The bib was hanging over the edge and I just hosed the whole top of it down. But it would be like peeing out of a window and hitting the underside of the roof, so it splashes all up on the roof and then back down in the window.
Yeah.
So
awesome situation.
Basically peed myself plus the bib.
Yeah.
And then after about 14 holes, I smelt this really, this is a different bib. Which was, the whole thing was pretty ironically funny because of, it was lit straight after we'd recorded the last episode.
Yeah.
I smelt this, smell of death. And I was like, that can't be a smell that's just following me. It must be me. And I smell my left shoulder of the bib. And it was literally like death.
And what was it?
What had happened was that's how I have my towel and I kind of drape it over my shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm not, some guys put it on their side. Some don't turn up with a towel. Some leave it over the club.
Some take towels from wherever they find them.
But I'll often, it's wet, and I guess I maybe didn't take a fresh towel, or it hadn't dried out,
mm-hmm.
so you get that stagnant water smell. It had gone over my shoulder, and within a day, the smell was just like death.
Mm.
So, ironic after the last episode of me saying I didn't actually clean my bib, but I do.
Are there some caddies that do not clean their bibs? That just sounds horrible.
Oh, jeez.
That sounds disgusting.
Are there people in your
where
industry?
Where do we begin? Where do we start?
Like a can of worms right there.
Yeah. Won't even really dive into it. I'm sure. Just let the imagination run.
I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll take a pen and paper and write that down for the next time of some of the most disgusting things we've ever seen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, boys, we're going to move on to the sort of meat and gravy here, and we're going to speak to Hilo about why exactly he's here, which is regarding a charity golf event. Four! Now, for those of you wondering why we actually have Hilo on the show, I met him last year, and over a few pints, he told me that he was going to have a golf tournament over in Phoenix. I've always wanted to organise a golf tournament for Glorified Donkey for the Real Life Carry podcast as well. And I thought, you know what, we'll marry the two together. So please tell us about the golf tournament that you did organise, the reason behind it, and then throw out some ideas for us about the structure of what we need to do to organize an event.
Absolutely. It kind of funny started as a bit of a whim. I have a large circle of golfers back home, Phoenix. And it's not unusual for me to get a group of 16, 20, 24 guys just out on a Saturday morning, mini tournament, you know, put some money on it, some stakes. And I was about to turn 50 years old last year, which is, as yeah. Big G knows, was the trip out here to play. And so I wanted to do a big golf tournament for my birthday. And I started to talk to a friend of mine who has a company back in Phoenix, Personalized Solutions. And they do events and PR and stuff like that. And she said, yeah, let's do it. I'll help you. We'll do this. And then I just kind of thought, well, if I'm going to do a tournament, why not make it about something? Not just me turning 50, but you know, make it a cause. I lost my father about 23 years ago to prostate cancer. And every November, I grow out the mustache, which is in support of the Movember Foundation and their efforts to raise awareness for prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and men's health and wellness. So I kind of, as Big G just said, it kind of married the idea of let me put this tournament together to honor my father, support the Movember Foundation, and off we went. I have another friend, he does tournaments as well, so I started to pick his brain, and, you know, what should I do, what are all the motions to go through? Obviously, the biggest is to get the golfers. Second biggest is to get the sponsors and the support of all the people, whether those are raffle sponsors, whole sponsors, you know, we came up with a bunch of different packages. So we picked a date in November. The end result was 80 total golfers, 35 sponsors, 20 volunteers. And we ended up donating about $17,000 to the Movember Foundation.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It, you know, it's a bit nerve-wracking because in the beginning, nothing happens. It's you start 8-10 months out because you're like, we gotta, you know, there's all these motions to go through, but no one's signing up. No sponsors are signing up. And then all of a sudden you get to about 3-4 months out and it starts happening. You know, Everyone starts to sign up, everyone starts to recruit, everyone starts to write the checks and get on board and sponsor. And
how far in advance do you choose the location then?
I chose the location about 10 months in advance, and we wanted to have the location ready for this coming year at last year's tournament.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, maybe print up a save the date. We already got the spot. Here you go. To all the golfers and folks that are there. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do that, but we locked in the location in January of this year. So
right.
about 10, 11 months.
This year's going to be number two.
Yep.
Where and when?
It is going to be on, we moved the day from Saturday to Friday.
Okay.
For a couple reasons. Number one, winter in Phoenix on a Saturday is prime time.
Gotcha.
So you're going to pay more. Right, your golf fees are going to cost you more. So Friday's a little bit less expensive, and it's Veterans Day, so it's November 10th.
Mm-hmm.
People, for the most part, are off work, which is nice. And it is going to be held this year at Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix.
Legacy Golf Resort, okay. How many courses there? Just the one, or
just the one? 18. Okay. And you know, when you're looking at courses, You want to keep a couple things in mind, because it isn't always just, I really love that course. It's a fun course. I play all the time. Well, it might be a challenging, difficult one. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have golfers that come out, because I do scramble, right?
Yep.
You're going to have golfers of all playing ability. So you want to make it fun. Not, I don't want to say easy, but easier. I tend to find that resort golf courses favor that. there's also logistics involved. You don't want a course that's, I had people come in from out of town. You don't want it to be on the opposite side of the airport or, you know, way out in the boondocks.
40 minutes through town in Phoenix.
Yeah, exactly. But also when you start to look at all the logistics of the day of, you know, you got to bring all these hole sponsors out to their holes, right? I mean, we tee off at 8 o'clock, shotgun start at 8 o'clock. Golfers check in at 7 o'clock, right? So you want to get them registered. They're picking up the raffle tickets. They're getting a breakfast burrito. They're going to go hit some balls on the range. So we, the operational folks and the sponsors and all that, you got to get there 5:30 in the morning and, you know, start to, it's still dark in, you know, November, but you got to get them all out, get all their setup, all their equipment, all their, you know, we have all different types of sponsors, booze sponsors, you know, they want to bring their bar setup out to the holes. So you want to make it fairly, there's golf courses in Phoenix where the holes are way out there and far apart. So you kind of want it a little more condensed. 9 to finish by the clubhouse, 10, 18. You want it all kind of to empty in to where the post-tournament, the golf luncheon and the festivities are. Mm-hmm. Again, you don't, you know, that was my first go around. And you know, as you're planning or anyone else that's listening, planning to do this, you know, it's a lot of sort of baby steps because when you think about what you're trying to pull off, it can be overwhelming. It could just be, oh my gosh, you know, again, I'm not getting the sponsors because you have to commit to the golf course. You have to say,
yeah,
20. I mean, you get 120. What's a full 144? I think is a full.
Yeah.
You know, that's $25,000, $30,000 that you're committing. And now all of a sudden you're 3 months out and you've only got 60 golfers and you're kind of, you know, so you don't want to get overwhelmed.
What do you think the perfect number for a shotgun start is then? Because we as caddies, we've got a pretty good idea.
When I started it last year, I wanted a full, right? I wanted 144 golfers. Unrealistic.
Yeah.
Very happy with 80. I think when I started to get more realistic about it, I thought 100 golfers. Mm-hmm. But 80 was a good number, but I don't think that was enough. So our goal this year is 128.
128?
128.
I personally think from a player point of view, 100 is absolutely spot on. I do.
Yeah, because
I agree.
You got to remember too, this is a big time investment for those folks, right? You know, I'm trying to think. I play in a lot of those scramble tournaments and, you know, they tend to be slow, right? And the other thing that was a bit of a challenge that wasn't expected, it'd be 90 degree roll, right? Because the grass, the overseeding schedule in Arizona is throughout most of October. So you get into those early Novembers and they won't let you drive on the nice new grass.
That's right.
That slows down. Oh, right. So find out about that stuff. Ask all the
questions.
You know, yeah. And again, back to the team that helps me pull this off. Boy, Kendall is on the team and she has sheets of questions. And she's, when we went scouting in January to find the course for this year, she said, you pick the places that you want to go check on. And we roll in and she's got 4 pages of all these questions because you want to get, hey, don't leave anything up to chance. Don't think that, don't assume that they're going to take care of this or that, or, you know, I mean, even to the fact where, you've got, again, you know, I need a golf cart because I'm going to drive around. I don't play at my tournament and that's another thing. I don't recommend if you're the host, don't play. This is your time to shake hands and kiss babies and make sure everyone's having a fun time. Mm. That's what the host is. Okay. You know, I would love to play, but I would rather make sure everyone's having a great time. Well, okay, do I get a golf cart? And what about the photographer, the videographer? That's, you know, all that stuff. How many extra golf carts can we have?
Gotcha.
So ask, put together every single possible question, every single element. You know, some of the things that we came up with this year that we're still working on is having a DJ on one of the 100%, 100%. Holes. Having a DJ, right? Yeah. And it's got to be, again, there is some great golfers that come out. I've got some folks that are just phenomenal golfers. They probably take it pretty seriously. It's a scramble, but they take it seriously. But yeah,
people want to win.
Right. But I also want them to have fun.
Yeah.
Right. So a DJ. Okay, where are you going to put the DJ out there? How does the DJ's equipment operate? Do you have power out there? Do you have Wi-Fi if they're working off, you know, one of the apps for their music?
Now, here's an idea that I just thought about. Say you could get 100 golfers playing in the actual scramble, but you could offer a second package if there's like a par 3 course or a really good putting contest. So they could still take part, not commit to maybe 5 or 6 hours of the day, but you could still then get that number up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does Legacy have like a little 9-holer or a par 3 or...
They don't, but I do like that. That's really interesting.
You can still support the event, come and play the putting tournament, that type of thing, and then for X amount, and then you're still getting more people through the door.
Yeah, one of the things that you'd have to consider in that is, and this is back to the number of golfers, if you have 144 golfers, you have the course.
Yeah.
When we did the tournament last year, I'd planned on 100. We ended up with 80. And we had said, we're going to we had mapped out all the holes. We had, I believe, about 10 hole sponsors. So we mapped them out, right? We were very meticulous about, well, let's put this one on hole 7, and that's a par 5, so we'll have that one there. And we get to the golf course, and they go, oh, you're not starting 1 through 18. You're starting 10 through 18. We're double stacking your groups. Well, that was a shocker to us, and we had already planned to put one of our booze sponsors that had a little setup bar and was making drinks, and we had her on hole 7. She didn't see the first group for over an hour and a half, just sat out there. Mm-hmm. So my point being is those type of activities that you just brought up, which I think are great, right? Have a putting contest and maybe you might have some of the folks that would bring their kids and then they can do that. But you don't have full control of the course unless you've got that 144 number.
Interesting. Buffet, would you always recommend having a buffet?
Absolutely. Or something like that? Absolutely. Again, I kind of use the tournaments that I've played in as sort of the blueprint. So I very much like the idea of having something to eat when you arrive, a little box breakfast burrito. Mm-hmm. And then once the tournament's done, you go through all the ceremonies, right? You got the raffle and the longest drive and the closest to the pin. You got to have a buffet. And again, one of those like meticulous things is, do you need a vegetarian option? Okay. Right. Very popular is a barbecue, right? So you got barbecues, maybe that's an Arizona thing, but very popular. Burgers and dogs is another one. Tacos, very common. Definitely have the buffet. Also, I'll tell you kind of a neat thing that I didn't think was a big deal, but I got a lot of positive comments on it. I loaded the carts, each cooler on the cart with 4 beers to start. Mm-hmm. And it was a nominal, amount. They gave us a good deal on them. But every single person was like, that the beers in the cart to start, that was classy. Yeah. And it also helps if there's a slow start, you're not as upset if you got a little beverage.
It gets the door open for a lot of people, I think, those people who consume alcohol. Yeah, I mean, let's face it. Once you crack that first beer, you get through that first one. It's like your first cup of coffee in the morning, or whatever.
Now, you also had a long drive guy, which I think is a really good idea.
He was fun, Andrew. He competes in the long drive competitions. Interesting thing. He also raises additional funds for Movember. And this guy was he was a salesman. He did a fantastic job. The way that they structure it is whatever they raise, they get to keep half of it for whatever they're doing with it, and then they give the other half to you and your charity. He did some amazing things. He was so much fun. It's one thing to hit a long drive. He was taking a right-handed driver, addressing his tee shot on the left side, so he was hitting left-handed, with the right-handed driver that he had spun around and still knocking the tar out of that ball. Yeah. He was hitting from his knees.
That's right.
Just some fun stuff, right?
That is awesome.
We also had another guest out there, and Big G's going to love this. At that time, my company was sponsoring a PGA Tour player by the name of Kyle Stanley. Great guy. So I asked, could we have Kyle come out and do a little beat the pro on a par three? There was someone that beat the pro on a par three, I believe, sitting here today.
Well, I'll tell you what happened was a couple of the guys in our group was like, who's he? They literally went up to, I knew who Kyle Stanley is. And like, who are you? He's like, I'm the pro. I'm Kyle Stanley. He's like, never heard of you. He goes up first. He goes, you want to play against, we were the last group that went through.
Yep.
I think you left at this point.
I was headed to the festivities.
It was a fantastic par three. It was over a canyon of some sort. There was a backstop, and they had the pin at the back left. So it was, you could get it close.
I believe buck 38, maybe, yeah, buck 40.
Yeah, exactly. And Kyle Stanley gets up, misses the green. So, of course, we're all over him like a cheap suit, just giving him dog's abuse. And then I remember over the ball, I think I had a 52-degree in my hand. He says, what are you hitting? I says, 52. He says, you'll be short. I says, watch this. Hit it. I got past the pin, spun it down about 4 or 5 feet. All of us, my whole foursome, were within 10 feet. And then Kyle Stanley left after that group, by the way.
He did, yes.
He disappeared. We're jeering him in the way. Hey, you want your ball back? It was classic.
Well, I'll sign it for you.
But I tell you, it was fun. That was fun. He, you know, to get a PGA Tour pro actually at your event. And do that. That's
huge.
That was good stuff.
Yeah. We are going to have a, if you've ever seen these devices, ball cannons.
Oh, yeah.
The thing looks like a howitzer on your shoulder.
Like a spud launcher?
Yep, exactly.
Yes. Like a potato gun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, again, pay $20, this thing will launch it out there 400 yards. You know.
That's awesome.
It's interesting because it doesn't come out with spin, though. So it comes out a bit like a knuckleball.
Yeah.
And it just sort of, but it's way out there. So yeah, wow. Little things like
would
that.
Would one of the questions that Kendall has on that sheet then be liability? Okay, so I'm just like,
yeah.
Yeah, you definitely want to rent the ball launcher with a trained professional operating the ball launcher.
What were the different types of sponsors you had?
Oh, you know, one of the things that was recommended to me was the businesses that I frequent, right? Okay. And that could be anything. It could be a restaurant I go to regularly. It's my dentist. So my dentist donated teeth whitening sessions. I could go to the mechanic where I get my, you know, car serviced and get an oil change. Local establishments, smaller establishments are great for raffle prizes to put in the raffle baskets. Maybe a 3-month gym membership. A couple of gun clubs that donated, you know, come in and do a shooting session. Obviously, beverage sponsors are always welcome.
They go hand in hand.
Yes.
So all in all, just a very enjoyable process. Stressful. Will you be stressed this year or?
Absolutely.
You think so?
I think that it'll be a different stress because I want to make it bigger and better. So I could do the exact same thing as last year and go through the exact same motions, but it's going to be the exact same experience. I want to make it bigger, better. One of the things I didn't talk about is when I was working with beverage companies, they have to be very, very by the book on this stuff, right? Because you just can't have, we donated booze and, you know, well, where's, who to go to, where's your receipt, all that stuff. So I created my own 501c3. So I created my own charitable. I created first a corporation, the High Slope Drive for a Cure, Inc. Corporation. Mm-hmm. And then I filed with the IRS to have that be a nonprofit, 501c3. So everything that is donated goes straight to the Drive for a Cure. And then we take the proceeds to distribute to the Movember Foundation. But it makes it very clean for the team over at Personalized Solutions, because they have all the software, they can generate all those tax receipts, everything.
So that's a very important point to make there. Mm. Hugely important. Now, we have a lot of listeners in Phoenix, Scottsdale, the whole metropolitan area. Is that what you call it?
Correct.
How can people get involved?
Go to the website.
Okay, what's that?
www. Do we still say that? Do we still have
not
to
really.
Put the triple dumb? No. Okay.
If you're over 50, yes.
If you're old, yeah.
If you're old.
Almost 51. It's the website is Drive for a Cure, and I'll spell that out because obviously it's a play on words. It's okay. DriveForE.
For?
A Cure. A-C-U-R-E .com.
DriveForACure.com. Right, love that. That would be people can play.
Yep, absolutely. If you go to the website, first and foremost, there's great content from last year's tournament.
Okay.
But there is the ability to register if you're going to be a player and you want to sign up your foursome or your group. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, all the different sponsorship packages and opportunities. So you can go there, and it's very streamlined, as I mentioned. Drive for a Cure.
And sponsors, if you're a local business in that area. Within 50 miles, 100 miles of Legacy Golf Club?
Yeah, I would say 100 miles. Absolutely. Yeah.
It'd be worth it.
Absolutely.
And do they, if they sponsor something, if they come in, is there an opportunity to enter a foursome as well? Is that
yes. one of the... Yeah. And if you look at those sponsorship packages, those opportunities, some of them, if you are a whole sponsor, comes with a foursome.
There you go.
We are looking for a title sponsor this year. A presenting sponsor is what they might call it. So mm-hmm. the tournament is technically the High Slope Drive for a Cure, but we would love to have a presenting title sponsor, which of course, you know, comes with two foursomes. So mm-hmm. yeah.
You okay. Well, there you go, folks. If you want to go and play in the tournament, if you want to go and sponsor it, you can just visit the website, Drive for a Cure. Thank you very much for, you know, letting us know about that. That's actually given me a lot of information.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there who feel the same way.
We're going to move on to some mailbag questions now and another couple of pieces of admin. Four! Before we move on to some listener mailbag questions, I was speaking to Wee Ron this week from Big Game Golf, our Real Life Carry podcast sponsor. The newest app is going to be delayed a few months. So in the meantime, what we wanted to do was actually focus on the actual bones and content of the current app. Now, when we were away, myself, Cody, and Hilo were discussing, we went away on a little golf trip there up to Half Moon Bay. What a golf course. If you're ever in Northern California, have you ever played there, Man Bun?
I've never been there.
Oh, next time I go up, you're going to have to come.
Yeah, I'd love to.
The ocean course at Half Moon Bay is for me, top 10 I've ever played. It just reminded me of back home. It's as close to Lynx Golf as I've ever... Bandon Dunes is up there, and this was probably as close to Lynx Golf from Scotland, Ireland that I've ever played. It was phenomenal. So thanks to Darren, the head pro up there, who took care of us. And unfortunately, I lost my voice, so I will be recording an episode with the head greenkeeper, Nick, next time I go up there, hopefully in the next few weeks. Back to the Big Game Golf. You boys both have the app downloaded?
Sure yep. do. Yes.
So what I wanted, I think as caddies, we, as I say, Hilo, myself, Cody, had discussed this. This is something caddies always talk about. Score ruins people. I think it's one of the worst things in golf. They certainly come to where we work, and they're so focused on what did you score? What did you score?
Oh, man, I tripled the first hole. My round's over with.
That's it. And it ruins their day because... they think they're going to shoot the best round in their life, and they're just not. Most people are just not good enough to keep it together for 18 holes.
No, they're not,
and they think they're better than they are, and whatever. So, I think there's some games. You know, most people play the usual games, right? Wolf, you know, Nassau's. But I was looking at all the different games that Big Game Golf have, and there's one that I really think that people should be looking at. It's called Team Junk. Now, it's a points game, and everyone have different variations of this. However, in this one, you can play one team versus another. You could play, actually, a foursome versus another foursome. And the idea is to accumulate points, not really particularly with every score you make, but we'll test your boys' knowledge, right? There are many shots in golf that can result in a point, right? Such as a sandy. What would a sandy be?
Up and down out of a bunker.
Or do you agree?
Par out of a bunker.
It would be a par.
It would be a, yeah.
Par from a bunker.
Now, there are different variations in this, whether it be fairway bunker or greenside, but ultimately, a sandy is a point that you'll gain from making a par, having been in a bunker. A poly. What would a poly be? Not someone from Poland, by the way, right?
That one I'm stumped on.
Making a putt outside the length of the flagstick.
So that's a point gain, sinking a putt longer than the length of the flagstick. We have a snake.
That one I'm very familiar with because yeah. I'm quite adept at snakes. Those are three putts.
Yes, that's a point lost, actually. So again, you don't just gain points in this game. You also lose them. We have a barkey. What do you think that one is?
Off a tree or from the trees?
Yes, it's from the trees. Point gain.
From the trees.
For getting a par. It's always a par. While having had hit a tree on the hole. Oh, right, no. So you're right. If it hits it. I would say that if you're in the trees and you get it.
Yeah.
That should count as well.
I guess it could be both, depending on who you're playing with.
You have a skin. That's a point gained for having the lowest outright score in the hole. That's pretty simple there. A greenie. What would the greenie be, boys?
That would be par threes. You are on the green with your tee shot. Closest to the pin, because you might have multiple players in the group get on the green. You are the closest to the pin, must finish with the par.
Validation.
Yep. Some people double it up if it's a birdie.
Yes.
So we also then have a froggy. That one's that you come on easy.
It's got to do something with the water, right?
With after a water hazard shot?
There you go. Point gain for having a par or better.
From a water hazard.
Having had the ball at some point in the water. So check it out. Go to the Big Game Golf website. You can download the app. Have a look at some of the games. You can have a lot more fun with golf than just using a scorecard.
I will add, when I go out and play these types of games with my buddies, I'm usually the one keeping all this stuff manually. And it, as you mentioned, it kind of takes away from
your definitely playing.
And to have it streamlined like that with Big Game Golf just makes it so easy.
I'll actually put you in contact with the boys at Big Game Golf because they're kind of based out of Phoenix. And
excellent.
Boys, we're going to move on to some mailbag questions. What are your top five tips to speed up play? This comes from a George Hall, and he's from North Conway in New Hampshire. Top five tips to speed up play.
Ready golf.
Yeah, ready golf. That's be engaged in the game. Most people are so distracted. I can't get my Bluetooth speaker to hook up. I can't this. I can't that. Life is full of distractions. And when you're playing golf, try to play golf. Maybe put your phone on airplane mode.
Yeah, leave the phone behind.
Put your phone on airplane mode. Don't open it. Don't look at your emails. Think about what you're doing. Take the time to play the game of golf instead of just being on the golf course and trying to just go through life and, I wish I would have played better. Well, maybe you could have if you would have been focused on playing golf.
Yeah.
Situational awareness, right?
Situational awareness.
I'll throw a name out here. Big G's going to probably chuckle. My brother, affectionately referred to as Powder.
Powder. Not what many people think.
No.
He's an albino?
He is clear.
Oh,
yes.
You went with that. How did you get that?
I thought maybe he had a problem with the old candy.
That's it.
I know how Brandon knows.
Those were the two things that I thought.
You've seen the movie.
Powder. I've seen the movie, yeah.
He looks like that.
I've hand-fed a deer to it at the week course.
I'm shocked. He does not practice situational awareness. When you are on the green and you've already putted out, someone else has putted and they've left their wedge over here, go get the wedge for him.
Yeah.
So you speed that up, right? Maybe rake a trap. if you've got a moment and the other guys, you know, whatever, it's all those little elements that you're situationally aware. Like you said, turn your phone off.
Airplane mode.
Yep.
Download the Big Game Golf app.
Yeah.
Then you're going to, the guys that have got all sorts of games going on the scorecard are running out of lead. Just use the app. So much easier. That's enough, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I got a few more here. A few more questions.
Chip it closer to the hole. Figure out how to freaking chip a golf ball.
Just get better at the game. That'll speed up everything.
And for those who play regularly with the same people, get have somebody mark their putter with some electrical tape and have a give me range.
Give me.
A gimme range.
How about for all the women out there? There is such a thing as a gimme. Myself and Hilo walked past the Muni course the other day and some guy standing there holing a 6-incher.
Sure.
Like, I says, that looks like a fun grip. Yeah, there's a thing called a gimme, folks. Just, you know, unless you're playing for the US Open, which most of you aren't, you know, pick up and let's go.
Well, that's why I said mark the putter, because some people get confused. Some people think 3 feet is good, and when it's really, it's like, if you're like within 12 inches, it's good. If you're in 16 inches, it's good in some groups.
There's a guy called Al Temple from Miami, and he's asking, what are the top 5 to 10 tools a caddy needs to do the job? 5 to 10? I think you're overrating us here, Al.
Okay, well, let's start off with a clean towel, because a caddy without a wet towel is just a useless person. I mean, sure, you can. I jokingly tell people that a caddy without a wet towel isn't a caddy. Okay, you're there to keep the clubs clean. You're there to keep the ball clean. You're there to not lose a ball. You're there to rake the bunkers. You're there to facilitate the process of golf and take away the obligation of the player to do the things that people don't want to do while they're playing golf.
A scholar.
That's what you're there for.
He's philosophizing.
That's the only reason why you're there. To not lose a ball, keep the clubs clean, and attend the flag stick, and offer some assistance on the green. So you need a good pitch mark tool. People sometimes use tees. It helps to have one that you like. It helps do the job easier. Clean towel. Some people bring like a little wire brush, but like those things are kind of like hard. You freaking poke your fingers and whatnot.
Oh, next episode I'll tell you about a product that was sent to me that everyone needs to get one of these.
Name tag. How about a name tag, folks? Wear a name tag. It's an invitation for conversation. When your player can't remember your name or other people can't remember your name in the group, let's face it, I'm bad with names. If people don't know your name, they wind up calling you, hey, they don't even say something because they can't remember your name.
Or even worse, they just call you Caddy.
Caddy. Hey, you.
Zippy.
Zippy. Hey, Zip Zip. You got another one on fireball shots or another rolly?
Do you carry any extra tees?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Yeah,
maybe 20. Just enough.
Brandon basically mentioned everything that's available on the Glorified Donkey website, by the way. Tees, pitch mark repairers.
Look at that.
Ball markers. We should always have ball markers.
You should always have at least one or two or three or four ball markers in your pocket.
Even coins. One cent or like the wee 5-cent things.
The dimes are better because you can see them better off the green.
Don't go bigger than that. Don't start cracking out the quarters because... You know, some of these punters.
Yeah, they'll take them from you. You're chopping away at your tip.
Exactly. Golf towel. A bib. Preferably a clean one that doesn't smell of death.
Yeah, a bib helps. People are like, why you need a bib? Well, you need stuff to put place. You know.
I would honestly say that the only tools a good caddy needs is a towel, a pitch mark repairer. Those are the absolute basics.
And for sure.
Usually the ones that are on the website actually have the magnet for the marker.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Al. Last question. I regularly play in an East Coast Men's Association. Every month we play at a new course. I pretty much always play in the same foursome. However, one or two of my friends continue to bring their wives / girlfriends on these trips. The ladies are really nice, but all they do is take the carts and talk. What's the point? What are your thoughts? And that's from a Matt Wilson in New York.
Oh, Matt. I have a great joke for you that is totally inappropriate, even for this podcast, which I'd love to share with you. I think, They don't belong out there. Yeah. No.
We
they don't have... they don't belong in the group, taking up space, chatting, saying different little things while people are playing golf. It's like, just go to the store. Go buy some stuff. Go have a cocktail or a martini. Yeah. Go get a massage. What are you doing here?
I presume this is once a month and a weekend. Why are you going? Like, go and do something. Honestly, find a hobby yourself. They're not golfers. Everyone knows how I feel about this one. We actually, on Friday morning, had a super early tee off time, Half Moon Bay Ocean Course. There's a guy in the tee, single, with his wife, girlfriend, I think wife. And I said, oh, you want to join us? And he went, oh, really? Sure. Eric, nice lad from Texas. And we got down the fairway, and he's on his own. I was like, oh, where's Amber? He's like, oh, she was like, perfect, you're sorted, I'm off. I'm going to go do my own thing. I was like, legend. What a legend she is. Because obviously, if he was on his own, they probably thought they would fly around a couple hours, and she was going to have to be dragged to watch his golf. But we were there.
That's the part I don't understand, is what's enjoyable for them to do that? I mean... In that case with Eric and Amber, yeah, I'm sure she would have been a sweetheart to go along with him, but she probably would have been bored.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some people come out, they'll say, when can our wives join us to walk for a little bit? And usually they show up on the 17th hole or a hole that's close enough to the clubhouse to where they can either do the first couple holes or the last one or two holes.
That's it.
And that's it. And no, then you take a picture at the end, boom.
No problem with
Great.
That.
Great. That's fine.
I'll tell you what, Matt, you need to grow up here and speak to your mates and just basically tell them this is unacceptable. And
it gets in the way of male bonding.
Find a new wolf pack.
I mean, in another perspective, seriously, you're out there to have a good time with your boys, and then that gets in the way of boys being boys.
That's it. Now, any questions, please email them in podcast@glorifieddonkey.com or via Twitter. Twitter's the best way. We may have to move on to our notable mentions, boys. Jim White, he's from Southern California. He often comes up here, and his caddy's Paul Bauer. And Paulie's a listener to every episode. He loves it. And I told Paul I'd give him a shout out. Jim, you too. I spoke to him early in the week about tipping. Actually, he'd emailed asking about, people are obsessed with money and what I need to pay my caddy. I think it comes from the point of view of they want to be able, if the caddy does a good job.
Yeah.
They want to be able to tip him. So I spoke to Jim. So lovely to talk to you. And Paulie, thanks for your support. John Day, regular listener, regular contributor, bought the boys some beers. Legend. Thank nice. You very much. We got Scott Allison. He's in Rockland, California. He's a new listener. His pal Sam had asked me to give him a shout out and give him a surprise. And then there's a Shannon Watson, and he is Mr. C3I Wedge. He's the wedge guy from a couple of episodes ago. So what about yourselves? What you got, Brandon?
I'd like to say hello to Chris Della. Thank you, Chris Della, an avid collector of Scotty Cameron merchandise and a golf enthusiast, to say the least. And we appreciate you buying... some beers for the boys.
It was your birthday.
It was my birthday.
That's probably why it was.
Yep. I turned 37 the other day.
Just a boy.
Yep. I've spent more than half my life, two-thirds of my life caddying.
Walking around in circles.
Walking around in circles. And I have one more. Doug Wolf from Grosse Pointe Park, Michigan. Doug, my sister and her husband lived on Maryland, down there between Kercheval and Charlevoix. I used to stay with them in the summer times, and I caddied at the Country Club of Detroit there on 7 and Max, or 7 and Ross, I mean.
Hi, Lou, what you got?
I got a few. Just try to rattle through them quickly. The team over at Personalized Solutions, that's Layla, Kendall, and Sean, who are instrumental in helping me put the tournament together. My hosts for the last 4 days, Big G and his lovely wife, Natalia, have been wonderful hosts, bringing me out here, showing me a great time. Kodiak hosted me at his club on Saturday, and that was an excellent experience. So thank you to Cody for doing that. And to our host on Thursday, Goldie, I believe.
Oh, goalie.
Yeah, he hosted us at his club there in Stockton. And
legend.
Unfortunately, he wasn't able to join us, but he took good care of us, and it was a great time. So thank you to Goldie.
What about anyone back in Phoenix?
Well,
Powder.
I got to give it up for Powder. You know, Howdy. The crew, Boutros, Lindbergh, Sparks, the captain. Just a great crew that are my regular go-to golfers that provide me a lot of joy getting out on the links with them.
Perfect.
And that's fun.
If people want to follow, you have Instagram, Twitter for the tournament?
I do. I have Instagram. It is Drive for a Cure.
F-O-R-E.
F-O-R-E.
And if anyone wants to play in the tournament and it wants to get involved in tournament sponsorship, etc., www.driveforacure.com. Hilo, many thanks for participation, and we hope the tournament goes fantastically well. We will be trying to come out to that again this year.
Thank you very much.
You know, money is going to a great cause, and we hope to see you in November. Man Bun, as always, you're the man.
Thank you.
Philosophizing about caddying. And for the listeners, many thanks for listening. As I say, if you want to email the show, podcast@glorifieddonkey.com, follow us on all the social media, just look for Glorified Donkey. We also have 111 previous episodes, so if you're new to the podcast, make sure go back and listen to them. Most of them are evergreen. Thank you for your support. Thanks for listening. But in the meantime, go out, enjoy your golf, but more importantly, keep it humble.